Our Lord said in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, this morning I want to conclude these exhortations on the Lord's Prayer with the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, the words that we have before us, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." This conclusion, it focuses all our petitions on that which is most important. It reminds us that in prayer, whatever we ask for always comes back to reminding ourselves of who God is and praising Him. And then we also are reminded about the character of our God, which we really need reminders of when we pray, don't we? Now, before we go further in explaining this conclusion, I think it's necessary to acknowledge that there's this textual issue with this particular part of the Lord's Prayer. Some of you may have a version besides the King James before you, and you'll see that there either it's in brackets or it's missing entirely. And the reason for that is many of the early manuscripts of the New Testament don't contain these words in that particular section of Matthew. And whenever it comes to these sorts of variations in the text, we have to use some caution. There's one danger in assuming we have all the facts and somehow thinking that we can just toss out anything that has a variation. That would be a dangerous approach. Another danger is that we don't pay any attention to variants in the text of the scriptures and just ignore the issue entirely. That would also be a danger. And we can't ignore these variations because in the providence of God, they exist. God has chosen to use men to copy the Word of God, to preserve it for us, and sometimes there's variations in those texts. God did not ordain that we have the one single original copy of the New Testament in a glass jar that's under lock and key, and we consult on occasion to make sure we have the right thing before us. He used men to preserve the Word of God, which is actually a much better approach, as we see in God's providence. God's Word is perfect, and He has preserved His Word. But how do we deal with a variation like this when we look at this particular conclusion? Well, there's a couple things that are noteworthy. First of all, if you look at Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, you do not see this conclusion. It just ends a little bit earlier. So in the context of Luke, this is not included. That's one interesting data point. Secondly, if you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, you'll see that these words from Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer are almost exactly reproduced in the prayer of David. 1 Chronicles 29, 11, David speaks here. He says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." So, whatever the case, we see that these are biblical words. And whatever the case may be with this variation, this is a fitting conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. So, if you look at the Shorter Catechism, at question 107, it tells us, what is the meaning of this conclusion? What does it teach us? It says, "The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which is, 'For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen,' teaches us to take our encouragement in prayer from God only, and in our prayers to praise Him, ascribing kingdom, power, and glory to Him, and in testimony of our desire and of our assurance to be heard, we say, amen." We've seen that the Lord's Prayer is God-centered. God begins and ends as the focus in this prayer. And we ascribe three things to God: the kingdom, the power, the glory. And all of these things are necessary if any of the other petitions we ask of God will come true. God must reign over all. He must have all the power, and He must be seeking His own glory as the highest value. This frames the rest of our petitions. When we ask for daily bread, when we ask for God to forgive us our sins, God's kingdom, God's power, God's glory are the necessary foundation for those other things to be true. So we begin by talking about God's kingdom. God reigns over all. This is very good news. Ever since the beginning of creation, God has been sovereign and his kingdom has been over all. And ever since the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection, which we celebrate this morning, and his ascension, that kingdom has been becoming more and more visible in the earth. It has been growing and growing in its visibility. It's like that mustard seed that grows up to be a giant and majestic tree. We also ascribe power to God. When we pray to a limitless God. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3 that God is able to do above far more than we can even ask or think. That means that we don't even have the ability to comprehend what sort of things God could do if we would even think to ask him for it. We don't even ask him for things that he can do because it doesn't even cross our minds. We're not able to comprehend the power of God in its totality. And it means that you shouldn't avoid praying for things that seem unlikely to you, because God can do far above what you can even conceive. We should not limit our prayers to those things that seem reasonable to our minds, things that are in our power to accomplish, because why would we pray if it's in our power to accomplish? We pray to a God who is boundless, who is all-powerful, and who can fulfill our prayers, according to his will, of course. And then we pray for the glory of God. We say in the Shorter Catechism that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It could also be said that God's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God's glory is his highest value, and it should be our highest value as well. It should be our ultimate desire to pray for the hastening of God's glory, for Christ to return and for us to be united to him and to enjoy that glory. And then at the end of the Lord's Prayer, we say, Amen. And we use that word a lot, don't we? What do we mean by this word? It shouldn't just be a cliche that we toss on to the end of every single statement. It should have meaning, like everything else that we say. Well, the word literally means it is so, or it is true in the Greek. And when we say amen at the end of a prayer, we're saying what we have said, we are praying that it may be so, and we are also affirming that God has heard our prayers. When we say amen at the end of a prayer, we're not saying that for sure this is going to happen the way I prayed it. This must be according to God's will for that to be the case. But it is sure that God has heard that prayer. I love the way the Heidelberg Catechism explains it. This is really good. Question 129 of that catechism says, what does the word amen signify? It says, amen signifies, it shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. What it's saying is that when we pray, the one thing that's sure is that God has heard our prayers, even more than we desire those things that we pray for. God is listening. God cares. And these things are so. This is the assurance we have when we say amen at the end of our prayers. God hears even more than we even realize, even more than we believe. So this, brothers and sisters, is the conclusion of this prayer as we are reminded of the focus of our prayers and also the limitless power of our God to fulfill these petitions that we bring to him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to you that you do hear our prayers. Every time that we say amen, we're reminded that you are the true God who listens to the prayers of your people. We ask that you would help us to live by the things that we have learned in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We ask that you would grow us in prayer, that you'd grow us in faith. We pray that you would help us to see that we are laborers for your kingdom, that this would be the kingdom that we seek, not our own kingdom. We pray that you would help us to see that you're able to do far more than we even ask for, and that that would encourage us as we pray to you. We pray that you'd forgive us for our unbelief, for not believing the words that you have given us. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.